going to look at 2 Peter chapter 1, just a few verses here in this final hour for us to consider. I'm going to read beginning in verse 5. 2 Peter 1, verse 5. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. This is a familiar text, isn't it? And here we see that Peter exhorts believers to add or supply certain graces or qualities, sometimes called virtues, to add these things to your faith. Add to your faith. And I use that expression, add to your faith. That's one of the translations. I think the old King James Version had it translated that way. Some other translations supplement your faith. The English Standard Version has it that way. But the apostle is emphasizing here that these are things that we should make every effort, that we should be diligent in our efforts to equip ourselves with these things. And what it results is growth. It's a process of growth, a personal growth, a spiritual and moral growth. This is not unknown in the ancient world, and it's a way of describing it here that Peter uses and Paul elsewhere when he, for example, talks about the fruit of the Spirit. We have lists like these. And some of the ancients, the Stoics in particular, often use this kind of way to describe life. And they would say that in life there must be moral progress. There should be advancement. We shouldn't just be standing still. And one of the ways that this passage here has been described is to picture climbing a ladder or ascending a stairway. And you start at the bottom rung and it's faith. And then you go to the next step and you add. So it's an ascending order here, it seems. Another way I like to think of it is like the components of a building or a structure. And what's the first thing you have to have before you can build a building? You have to build a foundation. And then you work up from there. And things have to be in the right order when you build something like that. And it's not going to do much good to try to build a house and skip the foundation and put it off until later. It won't work that way. And so when you think about these ways of picturing this, I think it can be helpful to us as we read passages like this where the apostle is saying, in your life as a Christian, you need to add things to your faith, and you need to start with faith and go from there. This is a common theme in the New Testament, that in the Christian life, we need to be pursuing growth, spiritual and moral growth, and it needs to be a steady process that we're engaged in. Someone has described it this way, kind of a cynical way, and it's kind of sad that for many, someone said Christianity is often an initial spasm followed by a chronic inertia. That's not a very complimentary observation that those outside of Christianity have made that observation and say that's really all. These Christians, they get off to a big start when they first become a Christian, and then it just sort of stops. We don't want to stop, do we? And of course, I know an observation like that's somewhat cynical, so people have been hypocritical sometimes, but you don't want to fall into that trap. There needs to be growth, because if we are not growing, then we're dying. That's just the nature of life. It's true in the animal kingdom, it's true in the plant kingdom, it's true of us when we're growing up. We need to be growing, and if we're not growing, then something is wrong with our health. And so this is about development of character, it's about moral and spiritual development. Let me use an illustration for you. In most careers, in most professions, there is an emphasis on different types of continuing education. In higher education, which is what I was involved in, we called it professional development. We had to be involved in professional development. And that was strongly encouraged that this is something that we ought to do. What does that mean? Well, it meant that we should engage in things like he might be joining a professional society and be involved in a membership in a professional organization to learn what's going on in the field. It might be attending these special seminars. It might be taking more college work. It might be reading. It might be writing articles, publishing articles, or writing books and things. All kinds of things that come under heading in professional development. Well, what's the point of that? The point is that we were encouraged to engage in professional development because we want to grow. We want to get better at what we do. And so I think anyone who's involved in any kind of professional work or has been in the past in their career knows that this is an important thing that we engage in. So I use that analogy to say that the New Testament is always encouraging Christians to be involved in growth, trying to be better. And that's what Peter is doing here. Now, he has several important things to say about these virtues leading up to it. And to go back to verse 3, first thing we notice here, he says, these things pertain to life and godliness. Life and godliness. That is, he says that God has granted everything that we need for life and godliness. And so the second thing is, all of these things come from God. So when he talks about faith and he talks about virtue and he talks about knowledge and self-control, all these things that he adds to this list, as we build this structure or as we ascend this ladder, these things all come from God ultimately. He says that they are ultimately the result of God's divine power. He's granted these things to us. And they come to us through knowing God, through the knowledge of God, he says in verse 3. We know that these things are true. And he even goes on to say that these things are part of God's great promises. The great promises, he says in verse 4, precious and magnificent promises that he's made to us about life and about the hope that we have as we look to the future. All of these things, he says, reflect the nature of God. In verse 4, he talks about becoming partakers of the divine nature. Isn't that an amazing thought? That we can be more like God. That we are called to grow in such a way that we become more like God. That's godliness. Or more like Christ. Christ-likeness. How do we do that? We do this by looking to the Son of God. We see the character of God demonstrated in the life of His Son, Jesus Christ, as He lived here upon this earth. And so we grow in these virtues as we follow Christ and as we strive to imitate Christ and emulate His qualities in our own life. If we do that, we're going to grow. I just believe that. If we keep our eyes on Jesus, and if we keep our eyes on Him and trying to be more like Him, that's just going to make better people out of us. And that was the plan all along in God's plan. We also see that these virtues, he says in verse 9, they demonstrate a sense of spiritual vision and focus. He says the one who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. You've heard of the word myopia? You know, a person who is short-sighted? Well, that's the Greek word, is short-sighted. Myopia, it comes from the Greek. And sometimes you go to the eye doctor, they tell you you've got myopia. You say, what does that mean? It means you're nearsighted. And so he's using that as a way to say we need to look beyond this present life. We need to be far-sighted and have vision and say, I need to think about what I can be in my life and how I can grow and the steps I can take in order to be more like the Lord. And finally, this passage is telling us that these things contribute to our usefulness and our spiritual stability. Verse 8, he says, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, then they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 10, he says, as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. You'll never fall if you practice these things. That's saying that there's a promise of stability and the promise of remaining secure in the grace of God. And so he says you need to be diligent to make certain about these things. So that's kind of the background here. And in some future lessons, what I want to do for the next few weeks is each Sunday take one of these virtues and see things that are added to faith. For the remainder of our time at this hour, I'm going to talk about faith. Why is it that faith is so important to start with? You know, that's the first rung on the ladder. That's the foundation. And what that ought to tell us is that faith is not the end of what it means to be a Christian. It's just the beginning of what it means to be a Christian. It's the beginning of a life of growth. Faith is the foundation. It's the starting place. And it doesn't do any good to lay a foundation if we stop right there and don't build on top of it. We understand that, don't we? I mean, why do we get on the first rung of the ladder? Why do we stop there? It doesn't do any good to stop there unless you're afraid you're going to fall and break a bone. Maybe it's a good time to stop then. But no, we get on the ladder because we want to get up there to do something, to fix something that needs to be fixed. And so think of it that way. The starting place is faith. So I want us to consider for just a few moments here, how does faith grow? How can we make our faith stronger so we can add to it? And first thing I want to say is we have to continue in the Word. We have to continue in the Word. Why do I word it this way? Why do I say we continue in the Word? Well, if we remember what the Bible says, that faith is acquired through the Word of God, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. So if faith comes from our exposure to the Word of God and accepting the Word of God, if it's learned from the Word of God, that's where we come to faith, to become a Christian, then that means continued spiritual growth depends on continuing in the Word of God. We can't just say, well, I've become a Christian so I can close my Bible and set it aside, don't look at it anymore. We don't do that, do we? We keep reading it. We keep enriching ourselves in its precepts. We keep trying to learn more and more of it. That's part of our professional development. That's how we get better. That's what faith was intended to be all the time. So we have to continue in the Word. And if you put your faith on anything else other than the Word of God, I tell you what you've got. You've got a faulty foundation. You've got a foundation built, a house built on sand. And the Lord's parable, we know what happens to a house built on sand. We need to be building it on faith, continuing in the Word of God. There are so many places we could go to see this principle. Let's just look at, for a moment at Colossians chapter 1. There's a prayer, one of Paul's many prayers. And he says in verse 9, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased. Heard of it means their faith. He just talked about their faith. He's heard of their faith. He says, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. He says to Christians, he says, I pray that you'll be filled more and more. You'll have your bucket filled up with the knowledge of the will of God so that, verse 10, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. In verse 11, that you attain steadfastness and patience. There's two of your virtues right there. Where does it come from? It comes from continuing in the Word of God. And included in this prayer is the more you continue in the knowledge of God, you're filled with the knowledge of God, and you put it to work in your life, he ends up saying in verse 10, you increase in the knowledge of God. That's how we get more knowledge, is by living it, living the knowledge that we have. But you can't do any of that without continuing in the Word. Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, a good servant is one who is nourished on the words of the faith and sound teaching. He is nourished on the words of the faith and sound teaching. 1 Timothy 4, verse 6. Second, make growth a priority. Make growth a priority. If we look at the term that Peter uses here, he uses the word add. Add this to your faith. That's an imperative. That's not a suggestion. He says add this to your faith. Be intentional about it. Several times in this passage, he says, be diligent in the pursuit. Make every effort in your pursuit of growth. Add these things. That's something that takes planning. It takes thought, and you need to be making it a priority. It's not just going to happen by itself. It's just not going to just happen automatically just because we have become a Christian. We need to be striving for growth. way Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, he says, I want you to work at perfecting holiness. He says, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Perfecting holiness. What does that word perfecting mean? It means complete. It means mature. That's how the scriptures use that idea. Perfect. It doesn't mean that we're without blemish or without fault. It means that we are striving toward being more mature. That we're striving toward being more of what God intended for us to be when He made us in His image. So what do? We strive to perfect, to bring to completion, bring to a greater level of maturity, our holiness in the fear of God. That means we strive to be more like God in word, thought, and deed. Peter says that we should desire the pure milk of the Word, the pure spiritual milk of the Word in order to grow. 1 Peter 2. So we have to desire it. We have to make this a priority. And be concerned about moving forward. Certainly not moving backward. In 1 Peter 1, he says, as obedient children, we need to be careful that we don't go back to the ways we were before we became a Christian. But we don't remain at a standstill either. He says we need to move forward. We need to, he says, be holy as God is holy. That's the expression he uses, taken from Deuteronomy. From Leviticus. He says, as the Lord is holy, the Lord your God is holy, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. That's what we're striving for. But see, that's got to be a priority in our lives, to add these things to our faith. And over the next several weeks, we'll look at some of the lessons from this passage where we see how we can add these building blocks one by one to our faith and be more like the Lord would have us to be in our growth. Finally, we need to press on. You know, growing in faith is a lifelong pursuit. And, you know, we just have to keep on adding to our faith. We're never going to reach a point in life to say, well, I've got it all figured out now. I'm as good as I need to be. The moment we say that, then we're in trouble. It takes persistence. That's the word that we're looking for here. It takes persistence. We have to keep on. Well, the old saying that people have often had on signs to put in their office is keep on keeping on. Well, that's clearly a biblical concept. We keep on keeping on. We are persistent about this. We can't allow ourselves to be discouraged. You know, our faith is going to be tested. How is our faith going to be tested? It's going to be tested through the trials of life, isn't it? And we experience trials. We have difficulties. And one way we can respond to those is to get discouraged and say, well, what's the use? I'm just going to quit. I'm going to give up. But that's not what the Bible teaches us. Remember what James said in James chapter 1. He says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. The testing of your faith produces endurance. What are the trials? How should we look at it? They test our faith. That is, it's like a precious metal being put to the fire. It's refined. It's purified. It's made stronger. And so it is with our faith. And so, you know, we need to recognize that we experience trials and our faith is tested. We need to weather those storms, my friends. We need to weather those storms. We can have the attitude that there's going to be some hard times. There's going to be some setbacks. There's going to be some heartbreak in our lives. There's going to be some things that happen in our churches or in our families, in our own homes that's going to break our heart. Don't give up. Don't give up. You're going to make a mistake. You're going to do things that you regret. The Bible says, don't give up. Weather the storm, and you'll come out of it stronger than you were before. The end result will be greater spiritual strength. So don't lose heart. And so, remember what the Apostle Paul said about himself. He was speaking about his own life in Philippians chapter 3. And things that he was pursuing and following after Christ. And he says in verse 12, not that I have already attained it or have already become perfect, but I press on. I press on. so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Verse 14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And so that's what we've got to do. We're going to have some hard times, but we've got to press on. And that's where our faith will come out stronger than ever before. Don't lose heart. Press on. So you see, the point of the lesson is faith alone is never enough. Never sufficient. We know that faith alone is not sufficient for becoming a Christian, is it? And so we understand that faith alone is not sufficient for growing as a Christian. Faith without works is dead, James said. And this is true from the moment the seed of the Word of God is first planted in our hearts until it bears fruit in our obedience to the gospel. In the Lord's parable, the seed was sown into good soil, and then he says, those that hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. You go and you preach the gospel. Those who believe and are baptized are saved. That's the promise. But it doesn't stop there. That's just the beginning. It takes diligent effort to grow in faith and character. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. 2 Peter 3, verse 18. That's how Peter concludes this great epistle that we're going to look at here if we look at these Christian virtues. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that's my lesson for this hour. And I hope that can be something for us to think about and encourage us. And I look forward to studying some of these other lessons with you for this hour over the next few weeks to look at some of these virtues that we can add to our faith. We're going to stand and sing the invitation song. And if there's anyone here that we can help in any way, the invitation is always extended. Let's stand as we sing.